I remember a few years ago, I watched a magic show on YouTube, and it was amazing. There was this guy who was walking around on the stage doing all these different things, making things appear and disappear. And as I watched, I was left wondering, how on earth is he doing any of it? I'd been watching the whole time, yet somehow he'd managed to take off his jacket, change his shirt, and do all these other things. And I stood there thinking, I watched it thinking, how did he do that? It's one of those magicians where you think, well, actually, magic does really happen, you know? It was incredible. Now, thankfully, I was on YouTube and I didn't believe what happened, so I just rewound it and watched again. And it was then I realised that he'd done all these things to distract me from removing his jacket and changing his shirt. And in the middle of the stage, he's just doing all these things, but we're so concentrated on something else that he can do that. It was pretty amazing. Every time I missed it. Now, many of us would look at a magic trick and say, ah, how did you do that? We don't believe in magic, do we? We believe we've been tricked. We've seen something disappear. Maybe it was a rabbit come out of a hat, or we've seen a flag come out of a sleeve, and we want to see it again. We ask the person, can you do it again? We don't believe you because we don't believe that magic is real, and we know that it's just an illusion. So we say to ourselves, I need to see it to believe it, and we want them to show us again so that we can see that it is actually a trick. Now, today is Resurrection Sunday. It's the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Death and taxes are the two certainties in life, yet Jesus defies death and comes back to life. Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to a number of people. Now, it wasn't a magic show, but he appeared to many people. And today we're going to look at some of those appearances. We want to hear what they saw so that we too can gain confidence that Jesus did really rise from the dead. Now, you can see in your outline in your bulletins that the outline for the sermon today, and it would be good if you had that open to look at. You'll see there that we're going to look at his appearance to the disciples, his appearance to Thomas, and then his appearance to us. So make sure you grab a Bible as well and follow along. We're looking at John chapter 20, 19 to 31. And we're going to answer the question, well, how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Now, our first reason for how we know that Jesus rose from the dead was because Jesus appeared to his disciples. Now, the reality is that there was only 10 of them in the room at the time. That's according to what John wrote. This is still the first day of the week. It's the same day that Mary found the tomb and Jesus appeared to her in the garden. That's what we looked at on Friday in the morning. And if you look at verse 19 of chapter 20, we'll see that it's now evening, and it says on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. So things are still new. The disciples are clearly unsure what's going on. And still in verse 19, we see that the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Okay, so the disciples are scared. They've seen the empty tomb. Mary has said that she's seen Jesus alive. The Jews are powerful people, and we know that because, well, they just killed Jesus on the Friday, and now the body of Jesus is missing from the tomb. The disciples are scared, so they're in the house, and they've got the doors locked. And in verse 19, scared as they are, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, this isn't some magic trick. What it does tell us, though, is that Jesus seems to be different than before. He's able to appear when needed. He'd actually been walking with two other men on their way to Emmaus. You may remember that story. And now he's come back and he's here. See, what it tells us is that a miracle has happened. Because now Jesus, who wasn't in front of them, is now with them. He has appeared to them, even with the doors locked. Locked doors can't keep him out. Now, this is his resurrected body, and it's the reason why we heard on Friday that he said to Mary, "Oh, don't cling to me, I haven't gone to my Father yet. Jesus is with them in the room. And then Jesus does something to show them who he really is. Look at verse 20 there. It says, when Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now I imagine that they were unsure what was going on. But according to this, seeing is believing, isn't it? When Jesus showed them the nail marks in his hands and his side, their fear and uncertainty turned to joy. See, all this happened because they saw the Lord. He appeared to them. Now, Jesus uses the phrase, peace be with you. It's like he's using the Hebrew word for shalom. And he tells them the same thing again in verse 21 and in 26. Three times, Jesus reminds them that he has brought peace to them through his death. It's a parallel to the phrase that he said on the cross, it is finished. The work of bringing peace to the world through his death has been completed, and Jesus reminds them in verse 21, peace be with you. Now then we get the commission of the disciples from Jesus to go out into all the world. This is his mandate for them to go and take the good news of what's just happened to everyone around them. Jesus is really saying, well, now it's your turn. It's your turn to go out and do the work. They get told to continue the work of Jesus and to bring peace to all the world. Look at verse 21. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus sent by God to earth, and now Jesus sends the disciples out to tell the world. It's now time for the disciples who have seen Jesus to go out into the world. And then Jesus tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. And we see that in verse 22 where it says he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is a command to receive the Holy Spirit, and it more than likely points forward to Acts chapter 2 when we see the Holy Spirit come upon them at that time. And then Jesus tells them what their work will be. Look at verse 23. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And in summary, the work of the disciples here is evangelism. They are to preach the good news of Jesus, that he has risen from the dead. These are first-hand witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, and they are commissioned to take it out and tell people. They've seen, and now it's time to share. So how did the disciples know that Jesus had risen from the dead? Well, they saw firsthand, didn't they? They saw the nail marks. They saw the place where the sword had gone in. And Jesus talks to them and commissions them for the work they have before them. And the disciples, we see, are glad at Jesus coming to them. Now, it'd be quite normal for us at this point to say, well, they may have seen it, but why should I believe it? And this is really our second point for today, because it's in our second point we see someone who is really just like us. We meet Thomas. Now, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time. He'd missed out, so he didn't believe them. Look at what happened in verse 24 and 25. I'll read that. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, probably like many of us, well, unless I see his hands and in his hands the marks of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Obviously Thomas has his doubts. And many people share these doubts, don't they? But Thomas should have been careful with what he wished for. Because a week later, Jesus appears again. It's almost the same scene to what we see earlier. Look at verse 26. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Almost exactly the same. And then Jesus gives Thomas what he asked for in verse 27. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve," or "do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Well, how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, in this section we see Thomas the doubter, someone like us, believes. He doubts, but believes. He didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but Jesus, being gracious and compassionate, tells Thomas to stop it with the disbelief. Look again at verse 27. He says, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Now think about this. Thomas doubts that Jesus rose from the dead. It's been a week since Jesus appeared to the other disciples, and for some reason, he still doesn't believe. But Jesus appears and graciously gives him an opportunity to see and touch for himself. Now, we know that Jesus rose from the dead because he's walking around with the marks on his body of the crucifixion. He has holes in his hands and he has the open wound in his side. And Thomas sees them, and belief, or disbelief, disappears, and belief is on his lips. And we see it in verse 28 where he says, "My Lord and my God." A response of faith. This is about an appropriate response to the resurrection of Jesus. It's a change from no faith to have complete faith. Thomas saw Jesus with his own eyes, and we don't know if he managed to actually put his hands or fingers into the wounds. It doesn't tell us, but we see his response, don't we? "My Lord and my God." Disbelief turned to belief. Doubt turned to belief. How did Thomas know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, because Thomas, the one who doubted, saw and believed. See, Jesus knew that belief in him was going to be difficult. We've heard that Jesus has appeared to the disciples twice now. The second time, Thomas sees for himself that Jesus has risen and believes. And during this time, Jesus has appeared to over 500 people after he rose from the dead. And we have that recorded in another book of the Bible. But Jesus knew that a time would come when he wouldn't be around and people would have to believe without seeing. And this is what we see in verse 29, that there will be some who believe because they see the disciples, Thomas and a number of others, but there will be many who believe without seeing, like us. Matt did a great job of sharing how that's us today, isn't it? Look at verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, this is where we're heading to our third point and last point for today. And in this last point, we see Jesus' appearance to us. Now, of course, we don't see him physically like the disciples and many others did. We've seen some evidence for the resurrection from these disciples and their reaction to Jesus, calling him Lord and God. But how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, a number of you weren't here when we started looking at John's Gospel almost 2 years ago. And I started the series by looking at two verses. I don't know if you remember that. And those two verses are what I'm going to read to you again right now. Verses 30 and 31. Says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John's Gospel has been written for you. This whole book has been written for you. John wrote everything in it so that you could have the confidence that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, John tells us in verse 30 that there were so many stories about Jesus that they couldn't actually write them all down. What is written is only a portion of what really happened. There was so much more to say. But what we have in the Gospel of John is sufficient for us to believe. Or dare I say, it's enough for us to see Jesus for ourselves. It's all been written so that you may believe. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. See, the word Christ means that Jesus is the promised Messiah that the Jewish nation had been waiting for. He was going to bring peace to all, and that's what we see him say to the disciples. And what John is at pains to show us, to show each one of us, is that this whole book is written so that you may believe. We don't read this gospel and think, oh, that's a lovely story. Jesus is so kind. Jesus helps so many people. No, that's not the point of this gospel. We read John's gospel and move from disbelief or doubt to belief. We see the miracles. We see water turned to wine. We see 5,000 people fed from a few fish and loaves. We watch as he brings sight to a blind man. We see the people brought back from the dead. We hear that Jesus has been sent from God to bring peace to all. We hear Jesus declare that he is the Son of God and is the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world. We hear Jesus speak about the death he would die. All of it's been recorded so that we can see. So that we can see and move from disbelief to belief. This is what John's gospel is all about. It's about showing you that Jesus came from God with the purpose of dying on the cross and rising to life so that your sins may be forgiven and that you too may receive eternal life. As we read John's gospel or any other book of the Bible, we ask God to open our eyes so that we can hear and understand and see the wonderful work of Jesus for you. And we may not have been there for ourselves or see it with our own eyes, but what we have is an eyewitness account with an emphasis on the eye, what they saw, an account of what really happened. And John wrote it for us so that we can turn from disbelief to belief. So I want to ask you today, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in his name, you may have life? Because that's what this book is all about. And the application for all of us is to look at what the disciples saw with their own eyes and believe that Jesus rose from the dead. See, today is Resurrection Sunday. It's a day of celebration because Jesus defeated death and Jesus has risen from the dead. We've got good eyewitness testimony that all these things happened, even from a doubting Thomas. And so I want to ask you to come with me on a journey. Keep reading about Jesus. Keep looking to John's gospel or any other gospel and read about the Savior who came to die and give his life for you, who came to set you free from your sins and give you peace with God. See, friends, let Jesus give you a new heart, or let him grow the heart you have for him. May your confidence in the death and resurrection of Jesus be ever growing. And with that increasing confidence, remember the comfort it is to know that we have life everlasting. I grew up in a church where we always studied the Heidelberg Catechism, and there's a great question about this in the Heidelberg Catechism. It says, what comfort do you receive from life everlasting? And the answer is, well, since I now already feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, I shall after this life possess perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. A blessedness in which to praise God forever. This is why Jesus died and rose again. It's why he said, if you do not see and believe, you will be blessed. Because he is coming to bring us home back to him, to take us to the place where we can wholeheartedly serve the God of all creation. We may not see as the first disciples did, but blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. He has the power to take you from disbelief to belief. So trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. We thank you for the great comfort it is to us to know you and your salvation. Lord, work in our hearts so that we may move from disbelief to belief. And then move us from little faith to greater faith. What an amazing plan you have laid out for us. And we thank and praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.